Welcome back in here to Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatson here from Texas Longhorns on SI. Text line's open. Of course, you third member of Open Gym. I get through it. Text line's open 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. You know, we cannot control, Rodney, the commercial volume on this. I don't have the controls of that, but you know, we'll pass it up the ladder. We'll pass it up the ladder, but don't worry, they're not that long. We'll be back, and then you can listen to what you want to do with. And Bud Bundy, appreciate you have your opinion. I have mine, and I get paid to give mine. So you know, you don't have to agree with it, but I can also tell you, you don't know you're right either. So this is the fun part about what we get to do. And appreciate you tuning in, man. It's fun to get here on a Tuesday edition of Open Gym. I think you came in right at the right point, too, of when I was saying things might be a little tense right now in the long word. Maybe things are a little tense. I'm a little tense. I get it. It's a little tense right now. A lot of people from other other programs trying to talk down in the New York. The fact that I tune in and they go, Jaden Boss stays at Florida, spurning Texas is the headline. Not stays at Florida. Not congratulations, Florida, you kept your running back. But no, spurning Texas. It feels hard when you're the big dog on campus. And you can't tell me that Texas doesn't matter when every headline I read has Texas in it when players are leaving or coming or not even coming. Jaden Ball never entered the transfer portal, and yet Texas is in that title. So you can't tell me that we don't matter, because clearly there's a reason why they're going after this fan base. So
yeah, there's this thing called Google Trends that you can use, which is how much stuff is searched online per Google. And if you look at like a term such as Texas Longhorns on Google Trends, I think you're going to find that it's Googled far, far more often than Oklahoma Sooners or Texas A&M or Texas Tech or anything of that nature. So, yes, it is what it is.
Man, this is my favorite text I think we've ever gotten, because it tells me someone has not listened to the entire show. But it is, Patrick is an idiot. What happened to Texas being all in? Sounds like Jerry Jones and his all in promises every year. Man, who may have made this comparison? I don't know, 30 minutes ago? Yeah, could have been Patrick who said, I don't want us to be the Cowboys, and that's why I'm worried about what we're doing in the portal. Could it have been me who said that 30 minutes ago?
I would encourage everybody that is going to make wide sweeping assumptions and claims and tell people they're idiots to listen to the whole show. Somebody said, I didn't understand earlier in the show, when that is basically exactly what I said by the end of the Parker Livingston conversation.
Yes.
It is what it is.
I think we're getting mad at you for saying we should be allowed to shit on 22-year-old kids for deciding what's best for their future if they don't do what we think. I think you're allowed to have your opinion based on what he says.
But at the end of the day, the conversation or the decision was the right decision for him, and that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody should hate him for that personally. But here's my thing, and I don't want anybody to get mad at me. I apologize for calling somebody an idiot in the chat a few minutes ago. Kinda, not really, but kinda. Texas fans are, look at any message board that you want to. Look at any chat for any online streaming radio show that you want to. Preferably this one. This is the best one. You're acting like a bunch of spoiled babies. Like, this is so much like, oh, my best friend down the street got a Nintendo 64 for Christmas, and I haven't gotten one yet.
It's a little tense right now.
It's not Christmas Day yet.
It's a little tense yet. It's a little tense right now.
Let's just relax.
It is a little tense. I get why it's tense, because every fan base and everybody on Twitter and social media. And I also think there's a lot of this that a lot of it, if you're not on social media, is completely fine and everything's okay. Because I text with people that are not really on social media following sports like that. But our Texas fans, they text me for updates because they're like, oh, what's happening? And they're not freaking out this way. But so it's just a little tense right now. I think we'll be fine here. Thank you, Harry the Dog, for owning it. I think once at the end of the day, it's going to be tense. It's also beginning of the new year. This is the worst work week in the year, because we literally come off like 3 weeks of kind of half-ass work and like not full schedules and everything. And then this is like another year in front of you. So it's like a stressful week for just people in general, the first week of the year. So a little tense right now. I appreciate, look, he says, my bad. I just tuned in. So look, we're all good. I appreciate you guys listening. I get your, look, I appreciate that you are passionate enough about Texas football and Texas sports to tune in and support Texas Sports Unfiltered and support Open Gym. I appreciate it, because as much as maybe we act like spoiled brats sometimes, which we do, we all do. I will say, you know, we appreciate that we are able to make money doing this, and be able to talk and hang out with you every day. So we do appreciate you. And we just get it. We get emotional and up in it too, because it's a little tense right now, a little tense. But you know, going talking about being intense, Texas basketball gets to get killed tonight. I mean, play tonight, against Tennessee. It's a 10.5-point line. I'm really looking at this more to cover the line. I want you to be competitive in this game for Texas. But this feels like the game plan is now there for the teams who can do it, against Texas, which is, which is play two bigs. If you play two bigs, you're going to get them in foul trouble. Play two bigs, you're going to be able to beat them inside. You're going to be able to out rebound them. You're going to be able to kind of eliminate Cam Heidi from the equation, at least rebounding wise, where Cam Heidi's pretty good at attacking and jumping in and getting those. You're able to get those balls a little bit more. Too many balls hitting the ground and not getting grabbed in the air for Texas right now on the rebounds. They're going to have to rebound the ball really, really well. You can't turn the ball over against Tennessee. You need every advantage you can have, against this Tennessee team tonight. Jacoby Gillespie, don't foul him shooting threes. I mean, this seems like easy stuff, Matt. This seems like day one stuff. So it's going to be the question about what they can do. And this is my big, big question here. And this will be a positive to look for, even if we lose this game tonight, Matt. I'm going to try and spin the positive here for us. If Dalen Swain has another good offensive performance, then I will be much happier that I believe there's somebody who we can consistently start to count on one side of the ball. Now, is he a problem on the defensive end at the four and he fouls too much? Yes, we need to figure that one out. But starting problem for Texas, which has been for the last 2 to 3 years, we have had nobody consistent to be able to score. Now, we had Trey Johnson a year ago who could score, but it wasn't enough because he didn't really play defense. He was a net positive, but you needed other help to get there. Tremont Mark plays well sometimes. If he comes out and has another 15, 20-point game, you feel much better about life. But you know, for Texas, you need to be a team that can score 80, 85 points a night to win, to have any real shot, because you're going to allow 80 points a night. This defense just isn't there. And they don't have the effort. They don't have the ways to do it. They foul too much. I don't know, you know, who brought Sean Miller as his assistant coaches trying to do, but so far it has been rough for this Texas defense and this Texas basketball team. So tonight, you're really looking at some of the things to find a positive in. And look, if Texas wins, fantastic. But I am running in my expectations versus reality here, Matt. Since we're all a little tense, I'm not caring if Texas wins or loses this game, because I've already chalked it up to a loss. Hope they change my mind. But I want to see consistent offensive production out of Tremont Mark and Dalen Swain. And I want to see them be able to rebound the basketball well and not allow second chance points. You know, if you can win second chance points, you score more second chance points than you allow, and those two guys perform well, then I'll know there's a certain amount of efforts that we're going in the right direction. The fouling problem is going to be a problem all year. They need to keep getting better at it, but it is what it is. Like, I don't think that's changing overnight, and I definitely don't think it's changing overnight against the Rick Barnes team. Now, the good news is for Texas in this game is that Rick Barnes is an old school, let's get into a fight coach. And normally we'll go to the officials and say, don't call so many fouls. We don't need so many because we want to play rough in the post. And we don't want to get offensive fouls. We want to be able to bump around. So I don't think you know, we may go into that. Now, I don't know if Sean Miller is going up and say call everything or not. I can't imagine he is at this point. But Rick Barnes has always been a traditionally let them play. So we've had games against Tennessee where there's not been a ton of fouls called, not a guy's fouled out. We've had games where everybody fouls out. What the reality of it is Texas just needs to come out, play smart basketball, rebound, and try and get some consistent scoring. And we can keep going. How the guards match up? I mean, Jordan Pope's Jordan Pope. If he shoots above 40% from three, he's a net positive. If he shoots under 20%, which he's been doing, if he shoots under 30%, under 40%, he's a net negative. Because he's not going to play as much defense. He doesn't really instigate the offense as much as he needs to. We hope Simeon Wilcher can play more and more. There's six guys he trusts right now. Nick Cody is basically got knocked out of the rotation already. I don't know where Declan DeRue is. I would be playing him. I'd be benching my players if they kept fouling. I'd be benching my players if they didn't do what I want him to do. But that's where you want to go. And look, I want Voigtsaitis to be a dude in the post who's able to continue to grow. He's an SEC play. They're going to play him really tough. If he starts getting the calls, he'll have a good night. If he doesn't, he's going to get real frustrated, and we're going to get a lot of turnovers. So at the end of watching this game, I wouldn't be so mad if Texas loses. I would be mad if they don't compete, if they don't rebound. If you see balls on a shot, either way, touch the floor, that's a reason to be upset. Balls are never supposed to touch the floor in basketball on a shot. They're not. You're supposed to rebound the ball in the air. So when we see that happen, that's how second chance points happen. That's effort. It's not everyone's effort. Sometimes the ball bounces weird, but a lot of times it's effort. You can't see that happen. So that one to me is a big one. Second chance points, and then just some consistency offensively.
Yeah. I don't really see a path to any of that happening based on what I've seen over the first 16 games of the year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
At a certain point you are. And what this team is extremely inconsistent on both sides of the ball. They foul a ton, and that's what they're going to be for the rest of the year. Can you catch some of these teams on a bad night? Like, what could Tennessee come in and have a bad night and allow you to beat them? Sure. I don't think Rick Barnes is necessarily going to allow that to happen, playing against his former team. So you need your best players to step up and play their best basketball and play good basketball, which is very difficult for this team to do right now. And the last thing that I want to see is a team that fouls a ton and doesn't get anything out of the forward position, and then Sean Miller comes to the press conference and say, well, I'm doing everything I can. And I don't want Patrick necessarily to go on another tirade about Sean Miller, which, you know, because it could not be as perfect as it was yesterday. So if you want to see that, tune into yesterday's show and rewatch that, because it was amazing. But at a certain point, like, I'm not saying the season is over. I don't think that they're going to go winless in the SEC, but they need to start playing more complete basketball. And until they start doing that, I'm just not going to believe that they're going to be able to win any of these basketball games. And this is going to be a really tough matchup because, like you said, Rick Barnes is a knock them down, drag them out coach, and he's going to make them play real hard, and he's going to go to the refs and say, let us play the game. And maybe Sean Miller would appreciate that. Maybe it gives Texas a better chance if that happens. But, you know, they just don't have the star player that I think can get him over the top against a team like Tennessee, and it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah. No, it's not. But yeah, the SEC is also not as good as they were last year. The SEC was insane last year. They're still really, really good, but they're not necessarily as 1-16 deep as they were last season. So you could win some of these games. You can compete, but I need to see progress in some of these things. I need to see coaching. Need to see coaching and improvement. We've seen it from Tramone Mark. I would like that list to be longer. But we've seen it from Tramone Mark, so I would like to see it from some other guys. And Hair of the Dog, I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for him to come back and blame me. good text here from Longhorn in Lubbock, which is true. Is it true, Longhorn in Lubbock? Because we're all a little tense. We build both in high school recruiting and supplement from the portal. We just had the number one recruiting class. We aren't Tech, where we have to overpay every year just to score zero in a playoff game that was undeserved. But the fact that is, that there is the reality. Derek Cooper is going to be a really good back. I think one of the reasons why I'm not as worried about the wide receiver room is because we had a really good wide receiver class last year. And I know they didn't play a ton last year. And I know some people get impatient with their new toys. And if Kalik Lockett doesn't necessarily play a lot his freshman year, he's already a bust and we can get rid of him and who needs him. I'm not that guy. I do think it takes some time to play on really, really good rosters. And freshmen really shouldn't be playing a ton unless you are next level top guy, Jeremiah Smith elite. So I think what they've learned, I think they're going to be ready to step up. Dalen McCutcheon had some drops in the game. I think, you know, work on that a little bit more in the offseason. It's a good learning lesson for him to step into that next game, be a little bit more prepared. You know, even Michael Terry, we talk about him, and I know the experiment didn't get used in the bowl game, but he is another interesting back that we haven't mentioned yet of what he will be in the game. And I'll still say that I believe the biggest flaw that Texas had last season was not improving enough in the offseason. I think the player development that would have been Sark's, the thing that Sark had done better than Tom Herman, better than Charlie Strong, and better than Mack Brown at the end, was player development. He was doing really, really well with it. And it becomes harder when you can't play as much of your young guys and you have to play a little bit older guys. It becomes harder. You need to do a lot of that in the offseason. And they were being very gentle because they had just gone to two straight playoffs. They took it easy. No spring game. The scrimmages seemed a little bit lighter than they had been. Everything wasn't as intense as it needed to be ready week one. And for that, Longhorn Lubbock, you're right. You do build through the draft or build through recruiting in high school, but you need to be able to develop those players. And they're one offseason behind for some of these guys right now because they just did not do enough in that offseason last year. This offseason is big. The bowl game was big. To get a lot of these guys practice, to see Christian Clark's improvement was huge. To see that these guys are stepping up in those worlds, those things are really, really big for Texas. So I'm with you. You do have to improve it. But this offseason and this spring program and what you're sending the kids off to go work and do, what Arch Manning needs to be in charge of trying to get this, what Colin Simmons on the defensive end of the football needs to be in charge of getting these guys and making sure they're working out and making sure they're working and going to their skills coaches and doing all the offseason work that you got to do. If they do that and we see them week one look much better than they looked week one this week or this season, next season, then you will say a lot of the problems are fixed and this roster will be better than last year's because they're not starting at a loss. They're starting at a positive and can grow from that.
Yeah. Look, development is a huge part of what this team needs to be next year. And I think that was always going to be the case. I get that the all-in aspect of the transfer portal is a huge, you know, boiling point right now for Texas fans. And I'm not saying that they're not all in still. I think that they still are, but the meat and potatoes of this team is still going to be the players that are on the roster right now for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, you bring in guys to fill holes in the transfer portal. You don't bring in guys to completely rebuild your roster. Mm-hmm. So the development of this team through the bowl practices and what we saw against Michigan and then through spring football and through the summer is going to be every bit as critical as what's going on in the transfer portal right now. And that cannot be expressed enough. Had Christian Clark been developed to the point that he was at the end of the season, as he played against Michigan, I think Texas would probably feel, and Texas fans would probably feel a whole lot better about the running back room than they did 3 weeks ago. And that's important to remember. I mean, we're just a week removed from I think Texas's third 100-yard rusher of the season, or maybe the second 100-yard rusher of the season. And they got it from two guys in Arch Manning and Christian Clark. So, you know, that's important to think about because a lot of the players on this team that played last year were very young and they were still figuring out the college game. Now they've got a whole season under their belt. Now they've got 15 bowl practices, a bowl game, spring football, all of that stuff. You know, Cade Phillips is going to be better. Kobe Black is going to be better. Warren Roberson is going to be better. Jonah Williams is going to be better. Xavier Filsmy is going to be better. Anthony Smith, Bo Barnes, Lance Jackson, all those guys are going to be much better than they were. Christian Clark, Kalik Lockett, Jamie French. Like, just because you're bringing in guys in the portal doesn't mean that those guys aren't going to play a serious role in what this team is going to be next year. So you know, both are equally important. And I just, I really hope that that doesn't get lost in this whole conversation of, oh my God, you know, Jaden Baugh never entered the portal. We screwed up. But he never entered the portal. So it's not a loss. It's just, it just sucks.
Yeah. It's look, we all believe it was plan A. We all believe it was, and it didn't go through, but no, there's still ways you can come out and compete next year and be in it. Look, the way I've said it all the time, I think Trey Wisner and DeAndre Moore, for a lot of reasons, not just play, but what they meant to the team, I think it's rough to lose those guys and not replace them with something that gets you excited, because those guys got you excited. Those guys were guys that when you felt them coming back in the huddle, when DeAndre Moore came back from injury, when Trey Wisner came back and, you know, just helping Arch calm down a little bit more and the O-line calm down a little bit more. All of those things that they meant to the team is why you go, okay, well, if we're letting them go, it does change the culture a bit. And how are you replace that culture with the people you're bringing in to do it? And that's where you leave at questionable practices in it. And believing that they had stuff that they thought this is a clear upgrade and not a clear comparison, but not already in the system. And so that's where you just go, I just want to see why, if you're doing this and you know, you're pitching and selling it one way and it comes out the other, then it becomes tough. Sorry, Hair of the Dog. You're right. Jerry Jones. I want Jerry Jones to run the basketball GM though. That's who we're getting to run basketball. He can't do any worse. He could do worse. He could do worse. I won't be that mean to it. I won't be that mean. That's an overstatement. Jerry Jones could do worse. Matt, let's get to our overreactions we give here every day on the show, or every Tuesday, sorry, on the show. I will give you some overreactions from the college world, from the pro world, and things I've either heard, read, or just made up myself. Some overreactions. It feels like this is a big overreactions week for us, Matt. So we'll throw those in. If you have any overreactions you want to throw in to the chat, into the text line, go right ahead and do that. But Matt, let's start off and see if you believe this is a overreaction or just right on the nose, solid, makes some sense, solid point in there. I feel like this one might get you off, but I did read this. It's not what I made up. Kurt Cignetti is the new Nick Saban.
Maybe. Listen, it's really impressive what he's done at Indiana.
Yes.
To turn like one of the worst programs in the history of college football into what looks like the favorite for the national title right now. Yes. College football playoff semifinal, undefeated, all that stuff. I think we need a little bit more time before we can say, maybe give him like a national championship or two before we say he's the next Nick Saban. But I think that he's in line to be in that conversation.
But all right. So the answer for me is no, there will never be another in this landscape. Anybody who can continually build a program and have that many guys stacked up class after class after class. I don't know if that's there. If you want to look at the interesting part about transfers into this year's playoffs, that Ole Miss is clearly the most transfers, but they're 19 transfers on Indiana. And you look at that and go, oh, I would have kind of thought they may have been a little bit less because Kurt Cignetti kind of came up. A lot of those were James Madison transfers, though. They're transfers that came with him when he took the Indiana job. And so he has a lot of transfers on that staff that are playing and on that team that are playing that he has developed from the beginning, three-star guys, because they don't have a five-star on that team, which also should tell you about recruiting that, you know, maybe don't always get super excited about five stars, and three stars could also be amazing. You never know if you develop your players correctly. But I think development-wise, he's there. I think there's a lot of really good developers. The issue is what we're talking about with Texas right now. Dabo Swinney's a perfect thing. It's maintaining while still competing. So when you have to say, we've got all these fifth, fourth year guys that I've been around the same guys and we've built this program over years and years. And even though I've only been in Indiana, I brought some guys with me to instill that culture. Now, when all those guys are gone and you have to now start replacing with your younger guys, how can you stay there? It's just not as easy as it was. So if he could do that, hats off to him. I'm impressed what he's already done. He's done a hell of a job there. I think he's still a complete cowardly human being for canceling the Virginia game, and I won't back off of that. He's a coward for not scheduling a decent non-conference, but he's winning, and he is doing very well at that. So, no, he's not the next Nick Saban. He has not won anything yet to get close to that, but he is a very, very good coach, and he could be the next top-level coach. I will give him that. Is you could be the next top five coach. That's the next top five coach for the next 5-10 years where we just go, oh man, like how Dan Lanning came up and we all went, oh, Dan Lanning is a guy who's going to be named in the top coaches now every year. I think it's, he's in that realm. And then how do you improve off of that?
I mean, yeah, he's got to win some before we can say yes. That. And by win, you don't mean win games. You mean win national championships. You know, some people would have called, you know, Steve Sarkisian the next Nick Saban because he won a Big 12 title. And then came up, if he had won a national championship that year, they'd be like, oh, well, they're the next, people were saying it. They're the next Georgia, that he's the next this, yes, that, or the other. So, takes a little bit more time for stuff like that to get there.
All right. Our next overreaction, Matt. The auto bid process has been a complete failure. Auto bids are losing left and right. Auto bids don't win in the college football playoffs. Indiana is your exception to that rule. But auto bids do not win in the college football playoffs. So auto bids in general have been a complete failure.
I think the auto bids for the G5 have been a complete failure for sure.
How many points did Tech score again?
Well, I'm just, let me get there. Okay.
Games did Georgia win again?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that it seems to me that the bye week and having an entire month off before having to play a very critical football game, one where you're amped up to the nth degree and it's the biggest stage you've ever been on in your life, probably isn't the way to go. I think they need to get rid of the buys, and then we can talk about the auto bids. I mean, I don't believe in auto bids in the first place. I think it should be the top 12 ranked teams and that's it. But you got to start somewhere. I say get rid of the buys and, you know, reseed in that way. But whatever it is not working, and there should never be two group of five teams in the college football playoff ever.
No, I'm with you on that. And Randy, I don't mean group of five auto bids. I mean auto bids in general, because Georgia's not in, Texas Tech ain't in, Indiana's the only major conference that's in, ACC didn't make it.
Four auto bids lost last year.
So, like, auto bids don't win is the problem. So it's not even the G5. It's in general of you winning your conference championship gets you in. Now, those teams would have all made it in, but they may have not been the top teams. May have changed up the rankings a little bit. Maybe move some things around. Maybe in Texas Tech, we go in there. I'm just saying auto bids have not proven. It proves that not only are the G5 teams ridiculously outranked, but even the teams that are just like Big Texas Tech were outranked when they got there. And if Duke would have been in, they would have been massively outdone. And it just, you know, conference championships don't seem to matter as much when you're getting in. All right, our next overreaction here, Matt. Arch Manning will be the preseason Heisman favorite next season.
Arch Manning will be the preseason Heisman favorite?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. It's going to be him, and it's going to be Julian Sain and maybe another guy. And those are going to be the three that everybody talk about for the entire summer and the entire preseason. And then we're going to get there, and it's, you know, it's going to work itself out. But based on the way that he ended his season from basically the Oklahoma game on, including going out on top against Michigan with just an unbelievable performance, being Arch Manning and being the starting quarterback in the University of Texas, obviously, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, I don't think there's any way that he's not.
If you look at it, Julian Sain is definitely going to be in that conversation again, so he could technically be the odds-on favorite to start the season. Arch will definitely be in the conversation. There's zero doubt on that one. And then if Dante Moore takes the advice of, I think it was Todd McShay, but it may have been somebody else whose advice to him was, the Jets have the second pick. You're the second pick in the draft. Stay at Oregon. do not go to the Jets. Do not go to the Jets. It will not work out. There's no way it works out.
Just so everybody's aware, Pete Nakos has now called his shot for two players that Texas is after in the portal and has predicted Texas to get both of those players.
Okay.
Relique Brown and Bo Masco, the corner from Rutgers I was talking about a few minutes ago. So there may be some things happening here, guys, pretty soon. So let's all pay attention. You know, let's not jump off the ledge just yet.
I've already jumped. I'm flying, man. I'm flying. all right. A couple more college football ones here. All right. We've talked about this a lot today. Texas needs to be a top three team in the portal, or they fail to meet expectations.
I don't know. I probably if they don't have the number one team in the portal, everybody's going to say, oh, you weren't all in. But I still think they're going to get a lot of good players. It may not be what everybody expected it to be necessarily, with Jaden Ball and Isaac Brown and Cam Coleman and five new offensive linemen and 13 new defensive players and, you know, all this stuff. But yeah, it's number one, it's too early to tell. And number two, okay, I think that it's going to be just fine, and everybody's going to be very happy with the product that they see on the field next year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The I'd heard was, if they don't have the best team, they best pay a hole in the portal. And I was like, that's, come on. I went top three to push it back a little bit.
Even if it's top 10, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is it's really what needs to do address, because technically they could sign like 16 more defensive tackles, because they're really good at signing defensive tackles in the portal. And then they would have the top recruiting class, because they just got all the top defensive tackles. They would not make us a better team next year. Mm-hmm. Have 35 defensive tackles. All right, this is the last one, Matt. This one may get some people upset, but I've heard this a bunch. The SEC's bowl record shows the SEC is overrated.
No. Look, I get it. It's a bad look, but you consider the amount of opt-out players, the amount of players heading to the NFL, the amount of players entering the portal. I mean, Texas played, what, 9 starters against Michigan? And you also take into account the teams that, you know, I'll address that in a second, guys. You take into account the teams that, you know, weren't up for their bowl games and all that stuff. Like, bowl games have never been a barometer of what a conference is, in my opinion. The college football playoff is much more so a barometer of what a team or what a conference is. And, you know, there's one SEC team left, there's two Big Ten teams left, and there's an ACC team left. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll say that their bowl record is terrible this season. It's horrendous this season. They are 4-9. With two of those wins being over SEC teams. So there are two SEC bowl wins this season over a non-SEC opponent, Matt. Do you know those two?
Texas over Michigan and? I don't remember.
It's your team.
Oh, yeah. Ole Miss?
Ole Miss over Tulane.
Well, okay, but are we counting college football playoff as?
You have to if you count the SEC, because we're taking up half of it, man. Oh,
okay. If we're just talking about bowl games, then it's bowl game, but playoff is playoff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because basically A&M lost to Miami. Missouri lost to Virginia. LSU lost to Houston, which we knew was Tennessee lost to Illinois. Vanderbilt losing to Iowa. That one, come on, Diego played. Diego was there. Come on, Diego.
Well, yeah, and he also said you only need to score 7 points to beat Iowa, and they scored 34 on you.
Mississippi
Do you know
State
that Iowa has like an alarming amount of All-Americans like consecutively over the last few years, and that they're a much better program than people give them credit for?
Their defense has always been really good. Mm. Their defense
Tight
is always
ends, running backs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they put out guys. They just don't. They were just their offense. That's why people have been so mad at their offensive coordinators, because they're horrendous. Mm-hmm. they've just done things really badly. No, I agree with you. You can't really judge the entire book on that cover, especially when you're like, well, two of the losses were to SEC teams. There were so many in the playoffs. I get that, you know, it doesn't, if Vanderbilt and Tennessee could have won, it would have made everything look much better. Cause then you would just be like, oh yeah, well, two of those are on us and all of that. So,
but did you also know that Tennessee didn't have a win over a team with a winning record this year?
Well, that doesn't help our cause here, Matt.
I'm just saying, like, you know, like some of these teams on both sides maybe aren't as good as we thought they were.
Yeah. Yeah. And Longhorn Lubbock says using bowls to validate or invalidate a conference is asinine. Just think, you guys are great, by the way. Appreciate you, Longhorn Lubbock. But yeah, it's no, I'm with you. I think looking at it, everything's in their own bubble. Like, I'm not judging Michigan as a program by us beating them either, because they had got their coach fired. A lot of stuff's going on there. So I'm not going to judge Michigan and go, well, the Big Ten is awful. You see how we beat Michigan. I won't do that, because I think that's, you know, just reverse being stupid. So I won't go that way either. But yeah, it's hard to go in and look. And when so many players are out, and for the SEC, the SEC Homer way of saying about this is, yeah, because you produce so much NFL talent that a lot of those guys that are your best players in all of the games are not going to be playing in those games. And if you produce less NFL talent, you will have more players playing in your bowl games. That's what the non Homer way, or the Homer way, would be saying it.
Yeah. Look, I've decided I don't want to really get into the Jordan Shipley stuff, chat. So when that comes out, you'll hear about it. I don't really want to talk about it on the air.
Yeah, we won't go into it. We'll wait on that one, and then cover it once it's covered. But we won't break any news or do anything like that, because it's already out there. All right. Some NFL overreactions here for you, man. The Dallas Cowboys need to clean house of coaches and players. They did today let go of Matt Eberflus. Least shocking thing to happen. They have let go of Matt Eberflus. Cowboys still may have to do more house cleaning. Do you believe more house cleaning for the Cowboys? Try and reset more after the first back-to-back losing seasons for the Cowboys in over 20 years. They haven't been back-to-back this bad in a while. Now heading the wrong way, back of the summit contracts. Is it time to really shift or go push it one more year with Dak Prescott?
You're kind of locked into Dak Prescott, at least for next year, I feel like. I mean, I you could probably trade him in some massive kind of deal, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a cap expert like some people claim to be on the NFL, but it depends what happens, I think. So if you fired Matt Eberflus, who are you going to bring in as your defensive coordinator? If you bring in Brian Flores, which is a name that Diana Russini, take that with a grain of salt, put out there, you would have to completely revamp your defense with different players, because he does not use the same kinds of players that the Cowboys have on their roster, specifically in the secondary right now.
Yeah.
So,
which has never been a problem for them. They just keep changing and then don't change it. Did Brian Flores, was Jerry Jones named in the Brian Flores lawsuit? I feel like he
I
was.
Don't know. I can't remember.
I feel like he was named in that, but no, it's, I think they do need to, but I think what you actually need to do, if you're the Cowboys, if you want to actually try and rebuild, which they're not going to, they're going to try and stay relevant, would be to basically not overextend this season on either offense or defense. I would say, understand, I would put money in the offense, try and keep your offense going one way, so you have an offense that you could put in a young quarterback to, and they would still be ready to go with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and George Pickens. And then defensively, really start to make a major transition. Try and find a defensive coordinator that you feel you're going to keep, even though the defense won't necessarily be good next year. You want to be able to push. Yeah, I heard Sark's going to be the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys too. That's
what the Cowboys should do and what they will do are two different conversations. What the Cowboys should do is burn it all to the ground, keep like Tyler Smith and Cooper Beebe on offense, trade everybody else, keep like Quinnen Williams and DeMarvion Overshown on defense, maybe Donovan Ezeraku, trade everybody else, start from scratch, be the worst team in the NFL for the next 2 years, and load up on draft picks. But they won't do it.
No. All right, next overreaction here, Matt. Seeding needs to go to the best records first, not division champions.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Yes, I hate the NFL seeding system because there is no reason on earth that the Carolina Panthers should be the 4 seed in the NFC. And there's no reason on earth that the Steelers should be the 4 seed in the AFC.
No, I'm with you. Now for the Texans,
don't do the reseeding either. I hate that too.
Straight bracket.
Straight bracket.
I like the straight bracket too. I like it straight seeded and then straight bracket, and you try and make it play out instead of giving the best the because it makes worse games than having like crazy games. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's an overreaction. I don't think they'll ever do it, but this next one is even worse if they won't ever do. But this is, for me personally, this is my overreaction. Owners should be forced to sell their team if they can't compete for over a decade.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
I'm giving you a decade, man. But hey, Jets, team sold. Not even a question. Woody Johnson, I'm sorry. You guys, you're going to make billions of dollars. Sorry, though. You are a terrible human being and owner. I've never heard anybody say a positive story about Woody Johnson. I've heard a lot of negative ones. And he is way worse than Jerry Jones, which is saying something. He is an awful, awful owner. And he shouldn't have a team anymore. The Cincinnati Bengals got lucky. They get Joe Burrow. You get to keep a team, Cincinnati. You're putting enough out there. Cleveland Browns. You compete. We're in the playoffs a couple years ago. You get to keep your team. Like, you're all every 10 years, you just got to make the playoffs one to every 10 years, and you got to keep your team. But if you are so dumb that you can't do that, you have to sell your team. And you can't, Randy, you can't do it. I know it won't happen. I'm aware of the validity, but I think we can all agree if you cannot make the playoffs for 10 years straight, you should be forced to sell your team.
The financial aspect and the logistics of that are impossible.
Yeah, I agree.
It would be completely illegal in many senses, but I wish it would happen.
Yeah. By the way, baseball too. I would love it in baseball. It'd be great.
Every American sport.
Yeah.
The Washington Wizards should sell.
Yeah. 10 years? That's so long for a fan base to not have any hope.
Yeah.
10 years. Oh. But the way they're getting Trae Young, man. It's going
to
be great.
But you know what? The Cowboys are still going to figure out a way to make the playoffs once every 9 years.
The thing is, again, I was surprised at the stat that the Cowboys hadn't had back-to-back losing seasons in 20-plus years. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah.
Come on, but man.
They're still terrible.
They're not terrible. Yeah, relegation is kind of it. But I don't want relegation because relegation hurts the fan base. The fan base is fine. Get rid of these owners. Get rid of them. Get a new guy in there. Get him to spend more money.
Randy, I don't think that if Cody Campbell was a Texas guy, you'd be seeing anything different. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's some rich people here too, but yeah, I'm with you.
By the way, one of my friends' wives apparently dated Cody Campbell in high school. Big downgrade.
Big downgrade. Should I?
Love the guy. He even said it himself. Big downgrade.
Do you think he could still go back and, you know, maybe hook up with him for a couple mil?
There's kids involved now. I think that ship sailed.
Oh, man. All right. A couple more for us before we hit our last break here, Matt. If the Texans lose to the Steelers, they need to hire an actual play caller to help Stroud in the offense.
Well, they need to do that anyway, whether they get to the AFC Championship game. The unfortunate thing for Patrick's dreams is that it appears that McDaniel is going to be back with the Dolphins next year. Great for Quinn Ewers. Not so great for the Houston Texans. I know we all wanted that. But, yeah, I mean, they have to go get somebody.
Not Cliff Kingsbury either. Not Cliff Kingsbury.
Better Cliff Kingsbury than
I agree, but not
Nick Cayley.
I agree, but not Cliff Kingsbury, guys. There's better ones. There's better ones. Yeah. And not Chip Kelly. Not Chip
no.
And our last one here, Matt. There are still a few more head coaches who should be fired. I wrote this thinking, well, there's probably still somebody who could have come. John Harbaugh fired during our show today. So that equals one more. A lot of coaches already gone. Pete Carroll, a little surprising. They're going to hand the reins over to Tom Brady, which, you know, it worked out for Michael Jordan. Whatever went wrong with Michael Jordan running teams.
Look, yeah, that's fair. Is Tom Brady the one that had a hand in bringing in Pete Carroll in the first place?
I have no idea. I don't know. I know that he got Bruce Arians let go in Tampa Bay. I think Tom Brady has some good ideas. I'll be curious to see if it works. I don't think that he is going to be able to come in and build a powerhouse in Las Vegas, but that's me.
Probably not. But the Raiders are going to be the Raiders for a long time, as long as what's his name?
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis, the one that has the bowl haircut and is dating a 24-year-old. And he's like 79 or whatever he is, 80 yeah. something, I don't know. As long as that guy's in charge, they're not going to be anywhere.
And she didn't even know he was rich, man.
Oh, yeah. She just loved his smile and that beautiful haircut.
And his minivan that he drove forever. I still think Tampa Bay was curious to see if Todd Bowles, if he was going to be the one that was a questionable firing, but it looks like he's going to be able to stay. We've already seen a decent amount of coaches going out on there. Jonathan Gannon with the Cardinals, just a horrible season. Did not do well. Pete Carroll, we already mentioned. Kevin Stefanski, who's interviewing for the Giants job. But by the way, Harbaugh is now the top candidate for every open position in the NFL right now. Like everyone, you're like, Harbaugh's the dude. Like I figure Miami and Tampa Bay would probably at least still like, would he be interested to come here? Because we'll let go of our coach if he wants to come here.
All due respect to Shoddy, I think the Cowboys are probably thinking the same thing.
Yeah. The Falcons got rid of Raheem Morris, which is not hugely surprising. They just were never able to get any sort of consistency going. Played decently down the stretch, but you're like, we're out of the playoffs in a bad division. All we had to do was be above 500 and we won the division. You couldn't even do that.
With free Bijan.
Free
Bijan.
Is there a coach that that you would like to get Bijan, like a good coordinator, good offensive mind that you could find? Like a Liam Cohen or a Dave Canales who came from Tampa Bay would both be awesome for Bijan because they've done so much with running backs before.
Yeah.
That both those guys, I think, would have been amazing. They are now somewhere else. So you have to go find somebody else to go put in there to make it work. And, to find that offensive coordinator. I'm not quite sure who it is, though.
Honestly, the way that Javonte Williams played this year for the Cowboys, just trade Bijan to the Cowboys.
Well, I think they're going to keep Bijan. I'm talking about the coach the Falcons can hire.
I'm saying they should just trade Bijan and start all over.
Something tells me that's not going to happen. Something tells
Probably
me they
not,
want to.
But I'm telling you they should do it.
What should they give up? What should they take for him? Like a third?
No, give him a first round pick. I don't care.
Give him like a fourth, a fifth. That's what. And you know what the worst part is? You'll have him for a year, and then Jerry's going to be like, "Can't afford to pay him. Can't afford to pay him. Got to let him go." Free agency. You're like, wait, you have a first round pick for him? You're not going to, not going to keep. Gonna let him go. All right, Matt, let's take our second break here. We'll come back, hit our meathead of the day, get you ready. But yes, hashtag free Bijan. We all know we want free Bijan. free Dijon, Bijan Mustardson as well. Get yourself some free Bijan Mustardson and enjoy it. As we wrap up the show here on a Tuesday edition of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have three service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and we'd like to take a moment to thank all of our clients for making the last 37 years both fun and fruitful. If you haven't yet, I'd like to invite you to give us a try for all your home electronics needs. There's no need to leave your home to find great pricing and incomparable service. No traffic, inexperienced sales geeks, or pushy showroom tactics. We come to you. So just relax, hug your kids, and smile. We handle all the work. Just give us a call at 255-8678 or online at avconsultations.com.
Hello to Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and folks, they can transform your routine, your daily routine, into something very, very special if you have back pain. If you're struggling with thoracic problems, if you've got hip problems, if you've got lumbar problems, please go over to one of their stores. They got two great locations, and find out a chair or a recliner or a sofa that's going to fit you and going to make your life a whole lot better. I've got this office chair right here that I've been sitting in for years, and I love it. Two locations, folks, at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
SendTextTickets.com. If you're in the market for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, anything live coming to town, you got to head over to SendTextTickets.com. The best seats to all of the biggest events, not just here in Austin, but all over the state and all over the country as well. It's so easy to use. Just log on your phone or computer to sendtexttickets.com. All of their tickets are 100% guaranteed, and they will be delivered right to your phone or computer. So simple to use, and you're also helping to support a local business every time you shop sendtexttickets.com. So if you want to be at the biggest events in sports and entertainment, there's only one place to go. It's sendtexttickets.com.
Back here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. Hopefully tomorrow will be less tense. Hopefully. I don't know. Hopefully by Friday maybe be a little less tense. Hopefully something comes down. I know Cam Coleman is supposed to be visiting Texas Tech soon. So get that and then figure out where he is. And then we'll get the tenseness of where he ends up going. I prefer he would not go to somewhere in Texas if it's not us. We don't need to hear that from anybody else. But all the things happening for Texas, we'll keep you up with tomorrow as we come back. But it is time, Matt, to get to our meathead of the day. And today, there was a fun moment in the Golden State Warriors game where things were getting tense, and as coaches were getting more and more upset, luckily there was a special announcer, Snoop Dogg, on the commentary crew as Steve Kerr gets very upset and gets ejected from the game.
She will swing your direction from time to time. Go to the rack, Draymond, all the way. Good pass. Ooh! Ooh, he snapped the break. He Windex shine that. Get off the Windex shine.
That hit the backboard. Oh, look at Steve Kerr. He's all the way out here.
Uh-oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Get him out of there. Get him out of there. Back him up. Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve. Ready to fire on him.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Inglewood right now. Inglewood. Get him, Steve. You and Inglewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out and look at him.
I've got to see that replay. It looked like that it had touched the glass there by Peyton.
That's right, Steve.
Hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
I can't tell.
There's Snoop Dogg doing a great job of announcing in a game like that, that Steve Kerr getting ejected, yelling Englewood, doing the cat noises. Just solid stuff from Snoop Dogg in commentary there.
You know, Snoop Dogg has turned from a guy with a little bit of a questionable history to just an absolute American treasure. I love that guy. He is so awesome, and he is so fun. His halftime show during was that the college or the sorry the NFL Christmas
yeah
thing?
I didn't see, but I heard
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he seems to get how lucky he is to be in the moment he is in and just taking full advantage of it. So Snoop Dogg having a good time and the ejection. Wimby returns for the Spurs tonight. We need like three Wimbys on Texas basketball to get going. We need something going. Texas
Apparently,
basketball.
We need three Wimbys on Texas football too.
To get Billy too excited as we continue. We'll break down. We'll see. I'll listen to the post game, see what Sean Miller blames on his players after this game since Texas plays Tennessee tonight. But we'll be back tomorrow. Talk about that. More portal updates, all the good stuff for you here on Open Gym. So be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.